I'm assuming the reason you go into freezes, you have a history of violation and that. You have to be very careful that you don't, let's see how I can say this best. There is people who take their, let's say, sexual violation or things like that, and they make somewhat of a job out of it, right? Meaning they go into related fields that perpetuate that, but makes them feel like they're not perpetuating it. That happens for most people, right? You find something that scratches that scab in a slightly more palatable way, right? Either some people do it in their spiritual, engagement. Some people do it in their job. Some people do it, for money, whatever. And so you want to be very careful that when you unravel that, you don't just find another way of bypassing, but really kind of step all the way back and learn the early warning signs and then empower yourself before the freeze, which you can, but you have to really know what's the, like I was saying to Hannah, what's the thing there? What's the trauma pattern that gets poked? The trauma pattern of, it's not necessarily the earliest violation, but the trauma pattern that creates freeze versus fight. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you can actually teach yourself to become a fighter instead of a freezer. Yeah. Which is an interesting thing when you teach yourself to be a fighter and not a freezer. It's because it's not like a, what did I call it? I'm a lover, not a fighter. It's like I'm a fighter, not a freezer. is a much better strategy when you encounter these things. It's very, very nuanced. And the reason I'm saying it's very nuanced is that it's individual imprints. And so you really have to know how to track those so that you don't inadvertently cause the same, right? The opening, a lot of people can have the opening, right? They have that big breakthrough, that big thing, but it's really along the same rut, and then it is essentially bursting open a scar, and then it scars over even more. Mm-hmm. So that's it's we'll talk about it at some point, but yeah. Our main set of nervous system reflexes comes from the organism wanting to survive. The first thing always when you're in a dangerous situation is to survive. Right, that's the most important thing. So the thing is, how do we get out alive? Is what the organism says, and sometimes that would be fighting as hard as you can, right? Sometimes that would be running as fast as you can, but sometimes it's staying calm till you can remove yourself from the situation, right? So your reaction isn't a bad reaction, and your reaction isn't a, oh my God, what is wrong with you kind of, reaction. It's the reaction of somebody who is somewhat able to kind of, let's say, keep their shit together to remove yourself from the situation. So it's not wrong to just pull your hand away, so to speak, freeze for a moment, to assess where you are at and then get out, right? What you can do in your mind when you rehearse this, because you will rehearse this, of course, for next time, right, is reduce the lag of getting out. Mm-hmm. The next thing to consider when you think about that is, could you have escaped faster, mm-hmm. right? That's the thing. But what you did in your mind is essentially weigh the options. Of course, there's silly stuff in there, like, can I get a refund? Damn right you will get a refund, right? I mean, really? You can just say to the guy, you took my hand to your crotch. I want my money back. You'll never see me again, right? That's the end of that. But that's not what you think, right? You're making all these cost-benefit analysis, so to speak, as a means of getting to a place of safety so you can extract yourself. So that's what freeze is built for. So we want to be very clear, right? The reason why you hear these stories of women just smiling while stuff is wrong is because that's part of the freeze. It's like you essentially hold steady till you see an escape route, right? There's a real genius in that. It can go wrong, of course, if you can't remediate after. But number one is always get the fuck away safely. However that has to be. Sometimes that means you have to punch somebody and wrestle yourself away. Sometimes that means you have to run as fast as you can. Sometimes that means that you make very little fuss and just back out, right? And remove yourself from the thing. So in there isn't really a thing. Now, of course, afterwards you think of a million other things you could have done. And then you have to and can essentially evaluate and rehearse those things in your mind. So the next time you have better better reflexes, so to speak, right? But a different situation requires a different thing. So the best thing you can do is essentially regulate your nervous system so you can make the right decisions. And that's the way to go. Mm-hmm. I had this thing happen many, many, many years ago. I still lived in LA, so it must have been at least 16, 17, 18 years ago. But I woke up in the middle of the night and I was home alone. My husband was in New York, actually, and I was home. And there was this big glass window towards the front of the house. And in LA, you know, it's these single houses, and then you have the little bit of a front yard, and then there's the street. There was a big window from the living room onto the street, but I was in the bedroom and I had the door open because dogs and whatever, right? And I woke up from one of my dogs just kind of, you know, like just this tiny little bit. And I look up and I see this shadowy figure on the outside of the glass. And I'm like, it's 1 a.m, mind you, you know, I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, who could that be? It's, you know, it's not a delivery. You think like, is it a, you know, like a, because there's all these people who come to the door with like, you know, whatever advertising back then and stuff like that. So while I'm assessing, you know, like groggily, the glass starts bursting and the, like all hell breaks loose and all the dogs are barking and the glass is flying into the house and there's like bashing and the whole thing, right? And I had just enough wherewithal to call 911. Back then you still had like landlines, right? Like with like little, you know, those handsets that you could carry something. And I had enough wherewithal to call 911 and get into the bathroom, which had a lock. And that's all I could do. But I was in the shower. I'll never forget that because I was in the shower, naked, mind you, because I slept naked. Naked in the shower, screaming at the 911 operator like you hear in those horrible cop stories, right? And when it was all done, you know, police came right away. They arrested the guy. He was going to lay arson to the house. He destroyed all the front windows and the windows of both cars that were parked outside and had this bag with rags and lighter fluid and stuff like that. He got the wrong house. He thought it was his daughter's house. He was in an old age home and he had dementia, so he was 98. Yes, but nonetheless, right? So, but in the aftermath of this, I'm telling this story for a reason. In the aftermath of this, I sat around, I'm like, I was like some crazy, like I made no sense. It's like, I was just like a sitting duck, you know? It's like, and I really had to go, why? And I had to do quite a bit of, you know, work because I quite think, and I had to kind of go through what happened. Where did I lose it, right? Because I could have done a lot of things. I could have gotten dressed. I could have gotten a knife. I could have walked out the back door through the back gate out onto the road and called 911 from there. I could have done all these things. But none of that happened because I had such an adrenaline spike. And so what I did afterwards is essentially I trained, I did like trigger training where I would remember these things and also expose myself to other things and learn better behaviors. Just by remembering it and then in my mind making the appropriate choices, so that I could, you know, kind of spike my adrenaline enough to learn how to make decisions from that space, but then kind of install better patterns and then relax again. And I do that over and over. And then, you know, many years later, when I had a whole bunch of very traumatic things happen, I could actually do those things, right? I could make appropriate choices under high adrenaline situations, really high adrenaline situations, where I can keep my shit together because I rehearsed, right? And you can't rehearse for everything. And I'm not saying I wouldn't lose my shit. By no means am I saying that, universe. you know, but you can actually trigger train yourself so you're not quite as frozen. And if you get frozen and you've done things like nonlinear and stuff like that, you can get yourself out. That's the other thing, right? If you go, oh shit, I'm frozen, you can actually get out of that. Where are my feet? Where are my feet? Look at your feet. Wiggle your toes. Blink, right? You do a few of those and then your body comes to life and you can get out. You know. But it's not easy. But you have to train for it, and also you do need to understand that what you did is the only way to go. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Which is safety first. And then, you know, extract yourself. Relaxation, non-linear visualization. Yeah. Like, so for instance, in my house now, I have a very specific, because now I live alone, right? So, but back then I didn't live alone and it still happened, right? But I have a whole escape route. Like, I know all the ways to get out of my house should I be asleep in bed and somebody shows up at my window, right? I also have 7 dogs, so that should help. But they're tiny, but they're vicious. They're vicious, and they're very loud. but I know how to get out of my house, not only for, you know, somebody, a burglar, but also for fire, earthquake. So I know exactly in my house what do I do in an earthquake? What do I do in a fire? What do I do, you know, in a mudslide? We have everything in California, right? So I rehearse all of that up front so that when something's required, I'm not quite as spiked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the key, is that you reduce the spike. Because in the spike, you can't make decisions. Mm-hmm. Your body makes the decision. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually wouldn't meditate. I would do something super vigorous. So I'd like go on a hike or go on a stationary bike or something. It's much easier. While you imagine the things happening. Okay. Like, you want your system to be super active. Because let's just say you're not in a place where there is people, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy, you know, does the thing and you kind of haul out, right? Which would be the cat response. Yeah. But then what happens next? Yeah. Is he stronger than you? Are there people around? You're, you know, on the table, blah, blah, blah. So you have to trust that your system did the best it could under the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And the cat response is the response of a wild animal, essentially, who hopefully can help herself. But that's not necessarily where you are. And the cat, you know, is also not invincible, obviously. Yeah. And there would be a moment then where you would fight, but hopefully, you know, you can extract yourself without a fight.